Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, help us to be prepared for whatever that we might find coming upon us in this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about physical preparedness because in the last few weeks, I have had a few people who wanted to talk to me about this, and it is on my mind. Water, food, and warmth are the most important concerns, and yet physical preparation is the second most important preparation. Spiritual preparation is the most important preparation. We spend an eternity in heaven or in hell after we die, so that is more important than the few years or decades that we spend on earth. Oh, let me just take a minute here to say, the few years that we spend on earth reminds me of Genesis chapter 47, verse number 9. It's about after Joseph is elevated to a position of great power in Egypt. Joseph invites his family to live in Egypt. And they do. They come to Egypt to live. And when Joseph is introducing his father to Pharaoh, Pharaoh asks Joseph's father, Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob responds, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." That first part of verse 9 is what used to just get my attention, because I would wonder, how could the days of Jacob have been few and evil? And then I realized this had to be that there was an evil around him. Evil during his life, and probably as he thought back on his life, he remembered the experience of evil around him in life, and that his days were few compared to his long-living ancestors. They had lived hundreds of years, and to say that, he must have felt quite old at the time, with his age being 130 years? Well, maybe. And that is what I thought. But please, you pray and you read the Bible yourself. Maybe the Holy Spirit will reveal more to you. And I think about Egypt. At that time, you naturally think of storing up, because that was the time of the 7-year famine. And that is an example of why preparedness is important, because of a natural disaster or because of an event orchestrated by God. These can happen anywhere, even here in this country. I know that we all feel secure here in this strong nation. Well, just think back to the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and most people would have felt secure also. Well, think back also to his grandson, or maybe his son. The word is the same in Babylonian for grandson and son, so they really don't know which it is. Anyway, he inherited the kingdom, and he and his palace group drank wine out of those holy cups from the temple in Jerusalem. And that was a sacrilege, and you know what happened. Well, a hand, plain and simple, an unattached hand, wrote a message on the wall which said, oh, and that comes out of Daniel chapter 5, verse 25, or maybe go back a little bit, verse 22. Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thine heart, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of his house, God's house, before thee and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines, and have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, they hear not, nor do they know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all of thy ways thou hast not glorified. See, when God is not given his rightful honor and glory, what can happen? Well, that was when the hand was sent from God, and the writing was written on the wall by an unattached hand. That writing said, "Meeny, meeny, tickle, you Pharsian." And their nation was judged that very night. Okay, let's skip a couple of verses here. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom. Yeah, you can read that in Daniel chapter 5. It gets most of our attention when we read it. So history tells us that the huge city Babylon was an impregnable fortress. It was strong, it was secure, and it was surrounded by big waterways. But Darius had a plan. Darius the Mede diverted the water, and it took days for the water level to lower, maybe weeks even. And then he and his men could go under that wall around Babylon, and they could take control of the nobles and the king. Now, it was the custom of that day to kill everyone who might be a future threat to that new king. And that was the way of the world then, and probably the way of the world has not changed. Because when new rulers or new governments come into being, the old people are driven away. They might be killed, or they might be sent to a land far away. And my point is that even the strongest nations, like Babylon, can be overthrown. And back then, Babylon was by far the world's strongest nation. And you know, in our day, the United States is the world's strongest nation. It is not impossible that the United States could fall. And if that were ever to happen, I say if, then we could only guess at the timing of it, but it would have to be a surprise because we wouldn't expect it. And surprises, they do happen. Oh, yes, surprises do happen. Look at history, and you know that. Or look at the Bible, and you know that. Or you look at anyone's life and you know that we all get huge surprises. And things change. It's just life. Things change because people change and circumstances change. Now, that makes the human alliances change and the goals that people have can change. For instance, wealth can be dissipated, or if one's health is lost, then that also brings change. There's lots of reasons that change come about, and one of those reasons is war. It seems like war is always a surprise. And just think back to every war that the United States has been in. There was very little warning for most of them. Oh, some of them had a lead up to the events, but often enough there was no warning to speak of. And suddenly people find that their country is at war. Now today we look at the world, what condition it is in, and we see and we hear the threats from various nations, various countries. Oh, you just look at the ones that we hear about. There's Iran, there's Russia, there's Israel and Syria and North Korea, and China too. All these countries, they could be at odds with the United States. And I don't just mean by a trade war. Now, a trade war is possible, but a real war is going on all the time, and it involves spiritual warfare and the ideology of the countries that want to dominate the world. The world seems to be dominated by a free choice like democracy, or it is dominated by a country that has plenty of manipulation in it. It can be a manipulation, or it can be just plain force. The communist governments, the communist doctrine, calls for those nations to have a domination of the world. And so there's a controversy, a challenge for who will be the dominant force in the world. And right now, we think the United States is the big guy on the block. But there's other forces, other peoples who want to see other nations dominate, like Russia and China and a host of smaller countries. They seem to favor a Marxist communist government model. They like that model because in practice, power is concentrated in the hands of a few powerful men, typically men, and that tends to be the way of the world, to put power in the hands of just a few, or even one person. Yet, with so much competition, to be that one strong person, or that one strong force, well, there's competition to be that one strong person or force, and that leads to conflict. That also leads to alliances of convenience. And there are just too many people around the world who want what riches the United States has. They want our material wealth. And naturally, they're willing to somehow magnify every division that we have here in the United States. And you know that the divisions within the United States are only increasing. Oh, I'm sure that you have heard the saying, to divide and conquer. That has been going on for thousands of years. And it goes on today. Divide and conquer is a theme, and it works. I think I first heard about that being said regarding the Roman Empire and the Caesars. But it's always been a strategy, and really, it just kind of gets me how divided our nation is today and how divided our nation has been for the last few years. I've heard a surprising number of people say that America is heading into a second civil war. Well, yeah, the way I see it, it is possible, but it surely does not have to happen. Please, can we work on getting along, everyone? Yes. Now, if we are not getting along, or just cannot act in a civil way to one another, then there really are possibilities that this nation will not get along, and that there will be civil disobedience. And yeah, I could see where it could lead to a civil war, even though I don't think so, but it could. It is possible. And like I said, it doesn't have to happen, but let's make an active part of not making it happen, partly by getting along and partly by praying. Prayer is such an important, powerful force. So we will have enough trouble just here and there with getting along, even if we don't have any civil disobedience. We just have lots of different views in our country. And they support different things and oppose different things. Well, we have problems any way you look at it. Look at our nation's financial crises, or look at our nation's homeless problem. Look at our nation's drug problem. Each of these would be lessened a lot if we listened to the examples in our Bible. Our Bible tells us how to live and what to want, but we don't seem to listen to the Bible so much anymore. Too bad for us. In this world, we will have troubles, and you know, if or when there is a natural disaster coming our way, well, let's say there's a hurricane coming our way. That is something we can see coming, and we get an idea that it's coming our way, and we get to have some ability to prepare a little bit, to stock up on food. And when people are in that situation, they pretty much think of fresh food like eggs and bread and meat and milk, and that's what they go to the store to buy. But each of these things needs electricity. Well, it needs refrigeration, and refrigeration needs electricity if you wanted to have a reasonably long life. But here, if you look at a hurricane coming, well, it is something that seems to happen that the electricity goes out. And it might be for days, and it might be for weeks. It's just a big unknown. And without electricity, you know what happens? What happens to the food in the refrigerator? Well, our refrigerated food spoils after just a few days without electricity. Now, there's some of it that could last a few weeks. But in warm weather or hot weather, the food doesn't last unrefrigerated. So it's something that you ought to look at if you are concerned with having some food supplies. Look at what kind of foods that you want to stock up on. Have something that will not spoil if electricity is lost. And one real obvious one is to get canned foods. It comes in all sorts of variety, from vegetables to fruits to spaghetti, and there is even a company that makes canned bread. It's a little bit sweet, but it is canned bread. It's a lot sweet. Well, anyway, you get to see. Just make choices and get some canned foods. They are good, but somehow people get tired of eating the canned foods really pretty quickly, they do. It's my experience that after just a couple of days, you really are craving some other kind of foods, like grains or bread or fresh foods and vegetables. So have that in mind. It's a big question for what you see to do in your preparations. How to prepare and prepare for what, and how long will your supplies last? Because electrical outages, they really do happen, and you've got to figure out, if you are thinking in terms of preparedness, what do you do? What do you want to have on hand? Well, the last week, there was a couple of times where on the East Coast, electricity went out. It was like in the New York area. And those outages went on for days. Only days, not weeks. And still, it was long enough for your refrigerated food to go bad. And the frozen food in your freezer as well was going bad. It thawed. And then it had to be tossed out. Naturally, we don't want that to happen to us. Nope. Well, here in California, we had some things happen last year. There were terrible wildfires. And what about this year? Oh, how can we prevent such a situation? Well, maybe we can do something, and maybe we just have to rely on PG&E to keep their electrical lines maintained. Well, it's a question. But if we do have some problems, oh, maybe like high winds or who knows what it would be, but I think that we can be pretty sure that if there are conditions that come about that concern PG&E, they will turn off the electric lines rather than risk another catastrophic fire. Yeah, I think so. So, can you figure out if how you would answer that question and what you would do if your PG&E or your electricity would be turned off? And it would be for an unknown period of time. They may tell you it would only be for days. But really, unknown is unknown, and you don't know. You don't know how long. So don't be surprised if it does happen. Instead, be prepared for being without electricity for an unknown period of time. And nobody knows when it will happen either. Nobody knows how long it would be for. It's just that it's a good idea to have some preparations. And there are so many people that have no preparations, zero preparations. So they will be going through great difficulty if that were to happen. And after they are caught in a bad situation, you know there will be much regret and much sorrow for what they could have done if they are caught without preparation. That would be so sad, and they would regret it, but it would be too late, because if there is no electricity, it makes a very hard time to get things. And by the way, that great sadness and regret could be for another reason too. Now, if you're not a Christ follower, and if you are recognizing that someday you will die, your preparation needs to be to know Jesus. And so you will also want to have spiritual preparation. But right now, it's physical preparation that I was kind of talking about. How much do you want to have for your physical preparations? Well, I have to tell you, I don't know the answer to it. And I think that prayer to God is the answer. God Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. So it's one God. So remember to pray and to think about it and to make a plan and then to do it. Because historically, people have not been prepared enough, and then people suffer when they don't prepare or have not prepared adequately. And I know it's normal. That's the way it is for so many people. But you want to be among those people who are prepared to deal with a difficult situation. You want to be prepared to overcome the difficulty. Oh, and also to share Jesus Christ and to intelligently share what you have. Now, be careful with what you expect to give away. And of course, you do have compassion and charity for others. But you do have to use wisdom in how you distribute what you have. So think about that electrical outage, because if there is an electrical outage, oh, things would change dramatically. You wouldn't be going out for coffee. You wouldn't be buying gasoline. The gas stations can't pump gas without electricity. And so you couldn't drive to your normal coffee place or work or anything else. You won't drive to the grocery store. You won't get any supplies. That's what happens when the electricity goes out. And even if the stores were open, they couldn't accept payments because their cash registers would not work. And the lights would not go on. And the same for the banks. You could not have access to your money without electricity being on. So every day we would be listening to the radio and wondering what was going on. We would sure like to know. And so for your radio, get a radio that uses batteries, and then get plenty of batteries for your radio, for your flashlight, just for everything. And probably you would be talking to people just to get some information, just to hear what was going on. And imagine that. We might have to be talking and having a human relationship with our neighbor. Oh, boy. And you know how well acquainted we are with our neighbors. In these days, not so much. Sometimes we only have a wave to our neighbors and we don't hardly talk about them. But the Bible tells us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh, wow! The world would change. What a different world we would have if we were to follow that great commandment in Matthew 22:37, to love God and to love your neighbor. Well, that's the really abbreviated saying what it is. But you can read it in Matthew 22:37 or in Luke 12:20. No, Luke 12:30. So I'll read it out of Matthew 22:37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, if we were to have a big problem in our society, so many people would need help. Our neighbors would, our friends would, our family would, and we would need to look after ourselves also to make sure that we can maintain our own help, our own health, so that we can help others. So back to preparedness. Preparedness is like buying insurance. We buy car insurance, sometimes health insurance, and we hope we never have to use it. But it's there if we need it. Just like life insurance or these preparedness supplies, we have to buy the supplies that we need before we need it. So, everybody can think about what they need. Everybody seems to say food, we need food. But really, it's water that is the first need. Water. And everybody needs water. Even before we need food. Water helps our mind work properly and our body to work properly. It needs good, clean water. And maybe you've heard of diseases or health conditions that happen if your water is not clean and pure. You hear about that in third world countries. There's cholera is a big one, and amoebic dysentery. And well, bad water is bad for our body. It makes our bowels and our gut not work properly. And diarrhea can really affect our strength and our ability to do anything, and even to interact with other people. So we want to take care of ourselves. And so the question is, how do you get good, clean drinking water? We think of boiling and filtering water. Those are both good. And another way is to apply ultraviolet light to water. And some people, well, use bleach or iodine, add that to the water, a few drops. And 8 drops to the gallon, or 16 if it's cloudy, of bleach. So that will take care of 90% of the problems that you might have with water. But everybody has different water and different concerns. So really, having clean water is a study more than you think. But the basic answers are pretty basic. But make sure that it is solving the problems that you want to have dealt with. Everybody has different concerns. And you can also store water. Storing water is good. I have drank water that has been stored for 8 years, and it was as good as the day I put it into the container. You still will want your water stored in a dark place to inhibit algae growth. And if I had to, I would drink that water with algae in it. I would probably filter it with a coffee filter, but it should be good. And you might have to treat it again, maybe with bleach or iodine. And then you can use a powdered beverage mix to add to that water so it tastes better. Mm. So if you're using bleach, use it within 6, maybe 12 months, because it does dissipate and it loses its potency. After you put the 8 drops or 16 of bleach in your water, shake it up and let it stand for 30 minutes before you drink it. So about every source talks about having 1 gallon of water per day per person. Maybe you can survive on half a gallon a day, but you really want to think of in terms of 1 gallon of water. You might need a little more if you're thinking of cooking with water, of course you will, or taking a bath. So, taking a bath. I'll just mention this here, that bathing is a really good idea to keep the bacteria off your skin. And maybe you can just use a little bit of water with a washcloth bath and use some antiperspirant because it inhibits the bacteria growth. So just consider that. You want to have a little cleanliness. And besides, if society breaks down, just be aware that everybody is going to have a little smell to them. Yeah. Just about everybody would smell if society broke down. And you just get to deal with it. And you feel a little bit sticky. You know what? This is not my favorite subject to talk about, but there's always somebody who asks. So just a little bit here. About that stickiness, you eventually will get used to it. It will take 4 to 6 weeks to get used to it. And I don't know this from experience, but when you read journals about people, like from the Vietnam War or from a war theater, that's kind of what they talk about. Men who were like us, they are used to cleanliness, or they used to be, and then they went to a war situation and showers were unavailable. And that's how they observed this 4 to 6 weeks. So I don't want to think about that could actually happen, but it could. It happens in history and it could happen here. So don't be completely surprised if it happens, even if we don't want it to. Well, back to food. I touched on how fresh food may be completely unavailable if we have a societal breakdown or electrical outage. Well, canned food is good for a short time. And what else is there besides canned food? Well, there's a couple of easy options here. One is freeze-dried food, and that is a good option. It's a little expensive, but it's a good option. It is expensive. Okay, and then there's MREs, which the military uses, meals ready to eat. And both come in individual meal sizes. Yeah, they're good, but we often can't afford that. So you'll have to look at what you can afford and figure out what you can do. So it's just fine to have some of these things for a quick and easy solution to hunger. Or you might get some dehydrated food that come in number 10 cans. That is always a good idea. You can get other foods like mashed potatoes, and you'll just love those. Those go very good, they're easy, and they are lightweight. Now, some people would add to that category of easy foods, they would add white rice. And to either of these, you can you can have a number of number 10 cans of dehydrated foods. And you can have foods like corn and carrots and peas, which these ones are relatively inexpensive. And if you want to go to the more expensive dehydrated options, you can do that too. You can get dehydrated peaches, dehydrated apples, or strawberries. Well, there's a few options that are more expensive, and it's okay to get those. You just have a budget, and everybody has to have some decisions as to what to do. There are lots of good options, and there's some that are expensive, and there are some that are not so expensive. You just get to evaluate it. You can always also get things like pudding or diced potatoes or powdered beverage mixes. Lots of things you can do. And you don't have to have the powdered beverage drinks to the full strength that we are used to. You can dilute them, and they're still good. There are just lots of ideas. Oh, the powdered beverage mix is also good if you are adding a few drops of bleach or iodine to water to clean it. And then you add that powdered beverage mix and it makes it taste so much better. Disguises the flavoring. Well, the flavor of the bleach or the iodine. So remember that you cannot have too much drinking water because it's always going to get used. Drinking water can be stored in 1 gallon containers or 55 gallon drums. It's just a choice. You get to decide. You get to figure it out what it is that you want. But water's heavy to store, but everybody needs water. Keep it out of the direct sunlight, though. Let me go back a little bit to the dehydrated foods. I want to mention powdered cheese. It's a good option because it has lots of flavor. It's not like the cheese, fresh cheese in any way, but it is good and it's a nice option. Okay, dehydrated foods. They can last many, many years, even after you open the can. But you have to be very good with your cleanliness around them. Use good hygiene and only dip your spoon, I should say your clean spoon, into a container. Because you just don't want to have any contamination, and you never, ever want to use your fingers to take anything out of the can, because that transfers bacteria. And then your good can of dehydrated food can quickly go bad. So just be careful, be clean. And there's a few foods that also ought to be mentioned. Peanut butter is almost essential. It is a very good calorie-dense food, but with any calorie-dense food, you have to be careful that you don't eat too much of it, because you can easily get tired of those foods, especially if you don't need those calories because of the work you're doing. Cans of meat. Those also are very good, but here again, you can very easily get tired of that same taste in those calorie-dense foods. So use those calorie-dense foods very sparingly, but have them on hand. Well, if you're doing heavy work, you do need those calorie-dense foods, but you do have to work off those calories. So just you give it some thought in what you're doing. you have sensible ideas, and for sure, try to maintain your food supply, because you don't know when you will ever get to resupply any of this food. If we really do have an electrical grid outage, or somehow society has a breakdown, it is very likely that resupply, is going to be exceedingly difficult. It just might not even happen for years. So pay attention to that, and pay attention to the foods that you get, that you're not going to get tired of them. And these days, just as we live in the world today, most of us eat a lot of sugar, various different forms of sugar. And that's just normal, that we consume a large amount of various sugars. So if we have a big societal problem, we're going to have to change that and get our calories from other foods. And really what that means is eating more often. And just changes in diet are always difficult. To have less sugar or salt or pepper, or not have whatever your favorite spices are, it takes a little getting used to. But we will get used to it because we have to. Hard times make it so that we don't have any choices, really. We have to get used to it. Now, if you consider some of the things that are just normal in our diet for these days, they won't be normal in days to come. Like corn syrup. We have so much corn syrup in our diets today, but we'll have other foods. We'll want to have regular white cane sugar or brown sugar. And you get to decide what the ratio is as you are making your own food. The same goes for salt. Oh, I have to say about iodized salt. Well, iodized salt is what we want, but so often today we don't get it. 80 years ago, iodine was put into many different foods, including milk and cheese. But today, our big source of iodine is in iodized salt, and iodine is an essential element for our health. So, and these days some people use uniodized salt for canning because it is so much cheaper. And there is an argument that the iodine will evaporate if you put it into boiling water as you would do for canning. There are studies that show not more than half of it will evaporate. Somewhere between 50 and 80% of that iodine will stay in your salt even after cooking. So I say try to use iodized salt whenever possible. They're just things that we will want to have on hand that are normal. Sweet food, salty food is a good example of it. And I also say, get some chocolate. Because chocolate is something that is so normal to us. And chocolate would be considered a food that we go to for comfort. So if you are wanting to feel normal, you may want to put some chocolate flavoring in, I don't know what food, any food you want. So get some powdered cocoa or some unsweetened dark chocolate, because that goes a long ways in making the flavor go throughout your food. You can figure it out. How much space do you want everything to take up? Because cocoa takes up more space than unsweetened dark chocolate. But it's one of those things for you to figure out. just like all the flavors and all the mixes, you will have to figure out what makes sense for you. And there will be changes. If we have some kind of a crisis, everyone gets to figure out what to do with their foods and with their flavorings, and how long do you want them to be spread out? How long do you want them to last? Because your foods will only last so long. Now, you have to figure that out for the flavors, for the mixes, and all of these things will not be normal for either the children or the adults. Because right now, all these things are easy to get, but in the event of a grid down or a societal breakdown, we just don't know how long the shortages or the just impossible it would be to get any supplies. We don't know how long it would last. And I've talked about a major earthquake happening in the Cascadia Fault. Well, the point is we want to get some flavorings, and if we are without flavorings and just have plain old foods, any little bit of flavor goes a long ways. But when people go without food for a while, every little flavor can be appreciated also. Now, that goes for even the simplest things, like salted white rice. If you haven't had food for a day, salted white rice tastes really good. So, like I said, have a few flavors on hand for anything. And then you can have just the regular flavors like salt and peppers, or you can have cinnamon and nutmeg and even mace. Mace was once considered a great spice for every kitchen to have. That was 200 or 300 years ago, but there is something to it, and we can learn from the events of the past to make sense of what we want to do today. So about grains, you might wonder how much should you get, and that is always a question. Everybody has their own ideas, but whatever you do, get a variety of grains. Our ancestor lived off of spelt, and spelt is the parent of our modern wheat. And that is my most basic grain. I like spelt, but I also have hard red wheat for bread and soft white wheat for cookies. So get some wheat and get some other grains as well. If you are using those other grains, adding spelt or rye or any other grain to your wheat, I grind them together and then I use them in cooking. Now, if I was just going to buy grains for bread and cereal, I would buy hard red wheat and spelt. And if I was making other things, like cookies, I would use a little white wheat. And you can always mix all sorts of grains in your food. You can even use rice in your food and cook it. It just changes it a little bit. Your cookies change, your bread changes, and it's always a good idea. You can add beans to your wheat, just a handful of beans or other legumes like lentils. You can put that into your bread, and everything makes a little difference, and you appreciate it if that is your diet of using bread. You can have a different change in white sugar or brown sugar or molasses or honey instead. All of these things make a difference to the bread that you make, and you get to appreciate those little changes, like adding raisins or chopped nuts. Every change helps a lot. So have a look at that, and you might wonder how much grain to have. This is something that there is not a real answer to. Everybody has a different idea. Are you going to get grains for just you, or you and your spouse, or you and your family members, maybe a few friends? Well, if you're thinking like that, you will want to get lots of grain because it goes real fast when you get other people to share your food. And it goes fast because grain does not fill you up like meat does, and so you eat more of it. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, says that if wheat is your primary source of food, then one person will eat 275 pounds of wheat in 1 year. That's kind of a 55-gallon drum's worth. Well, if you are actively working outside, my experience is that you will need to add about one-third more to that. And there will be a few people who will eat less wheat. Now, 300 pounds of wheat will cost about $200. 300 pounds of spelt will cost about $400. See, it's all affordable. You just have to do it. And you will be adding to that sugar and salt and oil and yeast. Now, oil is the big question here. How much do you get and what do you get? I strongly suggest sunflower oil or olive oil, because these are non-GMO oils. And you will need oil in your diet. Every body needs oil. And besides, oil is good for trading. Trading, bartering, it's always good for that. And water and food is necessary for life. But if you want, you can barter it also. As a part of our obedience to God, we have to figure out what our place is in doing what we do for the kingdom of God. In a part of that, like I said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then the next commandment is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So let me ask you, are you storing up water and food and supplies and various other things, tools, gardening things? Are you doing that for yourself? Are you doing that for your neighbor? There's a little mix that has to enter into your thinking, and I can't tell you quite what it is, but please think about others as you are considering your supplies and what you do. And we are to use our supplies and our resources and our money wisely. I think God requires that of us. So I say stay in prayer and do what you understand is right and the best to do for you, for your Christian family. So you can listen to any of these broadcasts again by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. I do have a preparedness list with ideas on it, so if you would like that, please send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.